Good morning, Thrive Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Yeah, there we go. We got a lively bunch here today on this beautiful summer Sunday morning. So glad that you're connecting with us. I want to welcome all those who are watching online in the 715 area code. We're glad that you're watching with us, but we invite you to come and be in person with us this morning. Didn't Matt and Aiden do such a great job of doing the announcements this morning? I'll give a shout out to our youth pastor and Matt. Where's Matt at? Oh, maybe he's not got back to his seat. But I just noticed this, Matt. I noticed that what Aiden was doing, and I want you to know, Matt, we all look up to you, right? We all look up to Matt. All right, man. Mary, she's finding her seat. Our worship director. She could not. We did not talk about today's service, but she could not have picked a more perfect song than what was just played. He called, I'm available. He calls, I'm available. Can we just say that, I'm available? Now, wait a second, don't you say that if you don't mean it. I'm available. I'm going to get right into my message this morning. How many of you got any road trips planned for this summer? Road trips? You got road trips? I remember as a kid getting into the back of the station wagon. There was no such things as seat belts. There was seat belts, but they were all tucked into seats. And we just, those were the good old days, man, just crashing in the back of the station wagon. A lot of great memories, a lot of great challenges. Journeys can be fun, but they can be long and they can be hard. They can be problematic. They can really test relationships. They can lead us into our greatest adventures. They can lead us into our greatest discoveries. In fact, you are here today. You are here today because of the journey that you have chosen. And we also know that we can choose our future. Our future journey is within in control of our hands. And I challenge you this morning to choose wisely. And I challenge you to go with God. We're starting a new sermon series called The Journey, and we're going to be talking through this summer. There's a story, it's called the Exodus story, found in the book of Exodus. It is the second book in the Bible, and in the book of Exodus, you are going to see this journey of these people, God's chosen people called the Israelites, and they go on this journey. There's a journey out of bondage and slavery, and it's a journey to this promised land. And some of you are today, maybe you're on that journey. You're someplace in that journey. Maybe you're still in that place. You're like, man, my life is full of bondage. And some of you are like, I'm on my way. Everybody say, I'm on my way. Because I'm on a journey. I'm on a journey. And there's many stories within this story, within the Exodus story. And we're going to learn a lot about this summer. We're going to learn about ourselves. We're going to learn a lot about God. And we're going to learn about how He chooses to work in and through people for His mission. And there's a strong reoccurring theme in this story that God doesn't just lead people out of bondage. God doesn't want to just lead you out of bondage and out of your problems, but He also leads through the wilderness. And some of you feel like you're in a wilderness season right now. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand what I'm going through. But God leads through the wilderness so that we become people who trust in Him. Amen? We're going to start this journey this morning in Exodus chapter 1. If you want to go to your Bibles, open up to Exodus chapter 1. Again, it's the second book of the Bible right after Genesis. And the story begins with Israel, God's chosen people. They are enslaved by Egypt. And God's people, it's brutal slavery. It's terrible, and it's only getting worse. You know, the scenario is just really getting bad. And the people are crying out to God in their pain. And they're just wondering, does God even see this? Does God even know what I'm going through? And we see here in this story that this situation, it breaks God's heart with what He sees. And our main character, Moses. In Exodus chapter 1, Moses is born as an Israelite slave. And because Pharaoh is so insecure and he's afraid of overpopulation of these Israelite slaves, he demands that every male child, infant, be killed. And so Moses' mother, after a period of time, she takes a step of faith and she puts little baby Moses into this basket. It's waterproof and sets it down the Nile River with the hope and prayer that God would deliver her son, somehow protect him. And sure enough, just down the river is Pharaoh's daughter, and she is bathing or cleaning, whatever she's doing, and the little basket rolls up right next to her, and she finds little baby Moses, and she adopts him, becomes her own child. And Moses grows up as an Egyptian prince, and he's educated as an Egyptian, and he just all the privileges that would come along with this. But one day, and right now he's at the age of 40, okay? And at the age of 40, one day he's out and he's watching how these taskmasters are treating the Israelite slaves, and he's enraged as he sees this one taskmaster and he's just beating this Israelite slave, and something triggers him. Ever been triggered before? Yeah. And we just like, oh, and he got triggered. And he just lays into the taskmaster and he kills him. And he realizes that he's in a lot of trouble because murder is still against the law. And then now what happens is now he turns from an Egyptian prince to a fugitive. He's got to run for his life. He's in a lot of trouble. And he escapes to the land of Midian, where he finds this beautiful young lady, and he marries her. And he gets a job working for his father-in-law. Anybody work for their father-in-laws, work for their fathers here? Yeah, it's not always an easy. But for 40 years, works for his father-in-law as a shepherd. And he becomes like the head shepherd. And one day, he's herding his sheep, and he comes upon this burning bush, but he notices that this bush is different because it's not being consumed. And all of a sudden, God begins to speak to Moses. You see, God, through this journey that he's been on already, these 40 years, this wilderness, God has been preparing him. He's been training him in the Egyptian schools, in the Egyptian ways. God has been preparing him. You see, God was, got to be careful how I use this word, but God was calling him. Everybody, can we all say the word calling? God was calling him. He had a mission for Moses' life. And this was an important mission. This was a rescue mission. And this rescue mission, should Moses accept it, it could and will change the course of history for a whole lot of people. As I stop right here, I see we have a lot in common with Moses here. Like Israel, we live in a broken world, right? Where there's a lot of people who are stuck in slavery. Jesus compares sin. He uses the word slavery to describe sin. And a lot of people who are stuck in their sin. And like Moses, again, some of this message might bother you some a little bit, okay? So if I can just be a little forward here. Like Moses, we are called. Look at your neighbor and say, you're called. You're called. If you're a Jesus follower, if you're a Jesus follower in this room, you are called. We are called to join with Jesus in this mission of life change. That's what we call it here at Thrive Church, life change. How many of you understand what life change is all about? Life change. How many of your life has been changed because you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? But like Moses, a lot of times we can feel inadequate for the call. Like, oh man, that's something that Pastor Sheldon, he's been called. Our Pastor Aiden, God called Pastor Aiden. Our Pastor Sandy, they are the ones who are called in the church. And we just kind of do things and help out around here, volunteer here and there when we can here. I've entitled today's message, The Called. You want to follow along in your notes this morning. We're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 1 through 4 here, and we're going to discover three truths. Listen to me. There's three truths that we need to learn about God's calling. If you're called here this morning, don't you want to know? You want to know these truths. If you are called, you want to know these truths. So it starts here. In life, I think there's a lot of questions, but there's none that are more important than this. Why am I here? What is my purpose? Why do I exist? I think a lot of people are searching their lives, looking in their lives, searching for those answers. And I think we find it. And I think the lessons that Moses learns in this moment are the same that God wants to teach us. Here's the three truths, and we're going to examine them a little further here. First truth that you need to understand this morning is God cares about lost people. God cares about lost people. Number two, God calls ordinary people. Number three, God carries those who he calls. Let's get into this message this morning. First truth, God cares about lost people. This is Exodus 3, verses 7 through 8. Again, Moses is at that burning bush. He's talking to God here. God is speaking back to him audibly. Then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them. Notice the language that God uses here. I have seen, I have heard, I am aware, and I have come down. You see, he's in tune with the situation. He's not like, what is that noise going on down there? It's like, no, this is something that has been stirring his heart. He's very much aware, and his heart is very much captivated by this. God saw every tear. God heard every cry. God knew every burden that was what was taking place in there. And what was true with the Israelites, I know it's true today. That God cares. I want you to understand today that God has not forgotten about our situation. I'm sure the Israelites felt that way, but God has not forgotten. I believe that God still sees. I believe that God still hears. And I believe that God still responds to the suffering of hurting and lost people. And I think there are people all around us. There's people who are in your life who are spiritually lost, who are emotionally broken, enslaved by sin. They are overwhelmed by guilt. They're trapped in addiction, crushed by loneliness, and they are searching for hope. And I just want you to know, if that's you this morning, I want you to know God sees you. God sees you. And God responded. God responded. You know, yesterday was June 6th. I don't know if you saw that was the 82nd anniversary of the D-Day invasion in World War II. You see, there was people who were enslaved by the Nazi regime in all of Europe, and there had to be a response. And so there was a calling. In our country and many other allied countries, there was a calling. It's like, hey, you come and help. We need your giftings. We need your abilities. We need you to give of yourself to help lost people. This was more than a rescue mission. This was their ultimate mission was freedom. And so this invasion that took place on June 6th was their response. And it was for this very same reason that Jesus came for us today. Freedom. Everybody say freedom. Freedom. It is for freedom that he set us free. Jesus is God in flesh, who heard all of man's calling. He saw man enslaved by sin. He came to earth on a rescue mission. Jesus' mission statement, this is not in your notes, but in Luke 19:10, if you want to know, if your company has a mission statement, or you have a personal mission statement, this is Jesus' mission statement of why he came. It says here, for the Son of Man, talking about himself, he came to seek and to save those who are lost. Seek and save. It's a mission of action. It's a mission. And remember, we talked about this week, last week. It's a mission of salvation. Jesus is that one who's going around in that boat in the middle of the ocean, putting out his hand, seeking and saving those who are lost. And throughout the Gospels, I love this. I love this passage. Again, not in your notes here, but throughout the Gospels, you'll see these stories where Jesus would come up onto this village. And he would see hurting people. He would see people who were sick, people who were blind, people who were demonically oppressed. And it says when he saw the crowds, when he saw the people, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I love that imagery of God. You know, instead of walking into a village or into a community and seeing, oh, these people, oh my goodness, why don't they get their act together? Like, oh, geez, problems. No. We have a God who cares. We have a God of compassion. Compassion on people who were stuck, people who were being oppressed, people who face life's negative circumstances, people who demonically possessed, people who were stuck in their sin. In Luke 4:18, we move forward in the Gospels, and Jesus is in this community, and he's in the synagogue, and he's about to open up a scroll and read the scripture for the day. And he decides to read an Old Testament passage in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, and he reads this passage. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free." And then he says, this passage that I have just read today, this is me. I am the one that God has sent into this world. The scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day. I'm the fulfillment of God's rescue plan. I just want you to know this morning, whatever you're going through, when you're in the thick of the weeds and in the thick of trouble out in the wilderness, I want you to know Jesus is your only hope. Jesus is our only hope. Jesus is the hope for the world. Jesus is proclaiming, I am God's response to man's oppression. And so God sent his son Jesus because he cares about lost people. God cares about broken people. God cares about enslaved people. And because he cares about lost people, God calls ordinary people. Do we have some ordinary people who are here today? If you're just ordinary, I'm just an ordinary person. Just raise your hand. You're just ordinary. I'm just, you know, okay. Ordinary people. It's amazing that God does some of his greatest work through ordinary people to join with him in this mission of life change. I understand here, this whole story here, it begins with the heart of God. Before God tells Moses to go, he tells Moses, I have seen. He tells Moses, he explains, I care about this. The heart of God, God cares. God cares about you. God cares about your coworkers. God cares about your neighborhood. God cares about this community. God cares about this country. God cares about the world. And before there was a calling, there was compassion. The second truth, the first truth is God cares about lost people. The second truth that we see this morning is God calls ordinary people. Oh, now I'm talking about you again. Sorry about that. God cares, God calls ordinary people. We move forward in this conversation that Moses is having with God. God said to Moses, now go, go. Now we spent a whole sermon series at the beginning of the year talking about go. Right? It's an action word. It's an action word. We talked about do something, right? I think we did that sermon series last fall to do something. You see, God's always calling his people who are called, who are just ordinary people. He's like, do something. I'm calling you to do something. I'm calling you to go. For I'm sending you, Moses. I'm sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people out of Egypt. Notice something interesting here. God says, I have come. Listen, I have come down to rescue them. Wait a second. I thought you were sending me. Yes, I'm sending you, but I'm going to be the one who rescues these people. You see, God could have done it alone. Instead, he chose to work through, in and through Moses' life. And listen to me, God has not changed. He has not changed. That's how he works. He does some of his greatest work in and through his people. That's how he chooses to do it. And so when Moses is confronted by God's calling, if you read this story, it's kind of a funny story. You definitely will find yourself in the story in chapter 3 and 4 because Moses starts making excuses. How many of you have ever given God an excuse before? But God, who am I? He says, what if they ask your name? Who am I talking to? What if they don't believe me? Hey, I'm not eloquent enough. At first, these seem like reasonable questions, right? But I think if we really look inside with what's going on inside of Moses, I think that we could see a heart that is full of this thing called insecurities. Come on, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. Because every single person in this room, we have this thing called insecurities. I'll tell you, the most insecure people I've ever met are pastors. Okay? Insecurities. And insecurity is a feeling of inadequacy, self-doubt, or anxiety about your abilities, worth, or place in this world. Have you ever noticed how our insecurities are the things that often keep us from being obedient to God? Have you ever noticed that? We allow that thing going on inside of us. I read this book called Every Thought Captive by, I really like the author. His name is Kyle Eidelman. He's written a lot of books. But he describes what he calls the insecurity cycle. Let me just read this section here, this paragraph. He says, the pattern of insecurity is typically, it begins with excessive caring about others' opinions, which leads to constantly comparing ourselves to others around us. This comparison inevitably falls short, causing us to capitulate to negative self-talk and external pressures. This capitulation then reinforces our concern about others' opinions, and we find ourselves trapped in a cynical pattern. Did you notice how that happens? Insecurity happens because we should care about what people think, but we care too much. We care excessively about what others think of us. We focus too much about other people's opinions of us. And then when that happens, then we begin to compare ourselves to others. You ever find yourself comparing yourselves? Man, I wish I was as eloquent as a speaker as they are. I mean, I just wish it, I just had what they had. They're just so good looking. They're so popular. They're so gifted. They're just so, so we constantly compare. They have so much and I have so little. I mean, just, and then we capitulate the negative self-talk. All of a sudden, see, you're not like them. You're not good enough. You'll never be good enough. You'll never be strong enough. And then the cycle continues, right? And that's why we talk about social media. I think social media can really become the breeding grounds for insecurity. We think in our minds, I'm not gifted enough. I'm not outgoing enough. I'll just never be good enough. And then the enemy, he loves to jump on it. And he jumps in on the self-talk. He's like, yeah, that's right. That's right. You are that. And so what he does is you notice in these insecurities, in our insecurities, the issue is all about us. It's all about ourselves. And that's just, the enemy loves that. Like, yeah. Focus on yourself. Focus on how you are not good enough. And if he can keep us focused on our inadequacies, will never focus on God's ability. See, God never asked Moses to be enough. God simply asked Moses to obey. Can I just say that one more time? God never asked Moses to be enough. He just simply asked Moses to obey. The same is true for us. This passage in 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Apostle Paul tells us that our lives do have a purpose. Remember, we started off this message like, you know, what is my purpose? What does God want me to do? Why do I exist? Well, the Apostle Paul answers that question for us. If you're a follower here today, in 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says that we do have a mission. We have, in fact, a calling. Listen to this passage here. It says, just do like this. Paul's talking about me. He's talking about me. I just want everybody to own this passage here this morning. He's talking about me. So everybody say I. I am Christ's ambassador. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm an ambassador. I just got promoted. They've asked me to be an ambassador, and I'm like, well, I couldn't say no. You know, I'm pretty gifted, I have the abilities. I'm an ambassador. You see, what God is, he's doing is he's making his appeal through us. He could do it alone, but he chooses to work in and through his people. For we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. And there's a gentleman who I've actually met, and his name is Mike Huckabee, and he ran for president one time, and he was governor of Arkansas. But he was asked by President Trump to become the ambassador for the country of Israel. And Israel is like one of our closest allies. In fact, there's a few things that are going on in Israel and around the world, the Middle East right now. But he's our ambassador. Okay? And so for almost all the countries in the world, United States will send out an ambassador to represent. What an ambassador, there's a couple job specifications. First of all, they got to go. You got to go. If you're going to be an ambassador for the United States of America, you don't do that in country. You got to go. Everybody say, you got to go. You got to go. You got to go into those strange places. You got to go to those places where it's a different language, a different culture, different values, but you got to go, okay? And remember, Paul says you're an ambassador, so that means you got to go. You got to go. Second of all, you got to represent. Say, you got to represent. You got to represent. You represent not yourself, but you represent your homeland. You see, Moses doesn't go Mike Huckabee doesn't go and say, hey, I'm Mike Huckabee here. Maybe you've heard of me. He said, no, I'm Mike Huckabee, and I'm an ambassador for the United States of America. I'm here on the behalf of our president and our country. He represents. And then he speaks on behalf of their leader. Mike Huckabee doesn't just go into the president or the prime minister of Israel and say, hey, this is what I was thinking about the other night. This is what I think you to do. No, that's not what an ambassador does. An ambassador goes and he gets a message from the White House, from the U.S. government, and like, hey, this is what our president wants you to hear and understand. He speaks on behalf of their leader. This is your calling. You're an ambassador. And we are called to go into this foreign land. Sometimes it seems like a foreign land. We live in a world as Christians. There's a different language, a different culture. There's different values. And we're here to represent Jesus. We're here to show the world this is what a Jesus follower looks like. And we don't speak on our own behalf. Hey, this is what I think you ought to do. Like, no, this is what the Word of God says that we should do to go into this world. We need to tell people in our world about the life-changing message of Jesus. When you speak to a neighbor, you speak to a coworker, you share your testimony. Can I just time out here real quick here? Somebody be like, Pastor, I hear what you're saying. I'm supposed to speak Jesus, but what do I say? I'm just going to give you the greatest hint ever. okay? This will take care of it. This is what you tell people. Tell them your story. If you are a Jesus follower here, every one of you has a story. There's three chapters to your story. I've mentioned this before, but there's three chapters. I want to help you out here. Three chapters to your story. Chapter number one, this was my life before Jesus. Tell them what it was like. Chapter number two, one day I made a decision. Tell the person why. What convinced you? What led up to the decision to follow Jesus? Okay, that's chapter two. Chapter number three in your story is, this is how my life has changed. That's all you need to tell them. Somebody like, well, I don't have all the memory verses, you know, I don't have them all memorized. And somebody, tell them your story. Everybody's got a story. We're called to make disciples, to serve others, to share the gospel, to represent Christ, and to use our gifts for His glory. God is making His appeal through you. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be an expert Bible scholar. You just have to be available. You just got to be available. Truth number three. God carries those He calls. And what I'm saying is, you're not alone. Like I said, through this message, God wants to work in you, but more importantly, God wants to work through you. God still calls imperfect people for His purposes. I'm raising my hand because I'm number one imperfect person in this room. But God still calls. In verse 11, but Moses protested to God, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And I think a lot of times we focus on our lack. We focus on our insecurity. Who am I? I mean, he's Pharaoh, and I'm just a little guy. But verse 12, God answers, I will be with you. I will be with you. In other words, listen, Moses, I'm going to work through you. I'm going to work through you. The issue was never who Moses was. The issue was who is going to work in and through him. God's answer is still the same to us today. I will be with you. In verse 2, God asked Moses an interesting question, okay, because he's confused. And I got this shepherd's staff from the network superintendent when I became the pastor of Thrive Church. Isn't this a nice gift? So far, I have not needed to use it on anybody. Okay. Sits in my office to remind me that I'm called to be a shepherd. And so, as Moses was a shepherd for 40 years, the Lord asked him, you know, because he's standing there with that shepherd's staff in his hand. And he said, hey, Moses, by the way, because Moses is like, how's this going to happen? How's this work? And God said, hey, Moses, what's that in your hand? Like, oh, you mean this? It's my shepherd's staff. You see, he had carried this for a long time. And the staff, it represented his identity, represent his occupation. This is what I do. I'm a shepherd. It represented his provision. This is how he makes his living here. This is how we pay the bills. This is how we pay the mortgage here around here with this staff. I didn't have this. Oh, man, I'd be in a lot of trouble. This was his security. This is how I fight off all the animals and those who come and try to oppress my village. And then God says this, Moses, I want you to do something here. He says, I want you to throw it down. Can I do that? Everybody kind of prepare for me to do that here. I don't want to shock anybody. Everybody, wake up your neighbor here because I'm about to make a loud noise here. He goes, I want you to throw it down. Yeah. Sorry about waking you up there. In other words, this was an act of surrender. If you're called by God, the only way that it really begins is through surrender. Before God could use Moses, Moses had to surrender what he was trusting in the most. And if God's going to use you to impact your world, you're going to have to trust him with this thing. You see, this was just an ordinary shepherd's staff. And we see later in the story that God did something extraordinary through that. And moving forward through this story, we're going to see where God again uses the staff, the thing that is in his hands, to do extraordinary things. But they'll never become, the ordinary would never become extraordinary until we surrender it to God. So I want to ask you this morning, what has God placed in your hand? What giftings, abilities, provisions, what would be the five things that you would say God has blessed me with? And then the second thing I would ask you is, are you willing to surrender it? No matter how, whatever that is, would you be willing to surrender? 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul tells us this. He says, each time he said to me, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am surrendered, that's when I am strong. I love the story. I love the story about Peter and John. They had been arrested for telling people. Remember, Peter and John, they were pretty weak disciples until they saw the resurrection, until they were filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit. And now they're going around and they're telling everybody about Jesus. They won't stop. And there is a boldness about them. And then so they bring them in. It's like, listen, guys, you guys are going to be in a lot of trouble if you do not stop telling people about Jesus. You guys need to knock it off. And they're just, their response like, listen, you can do whatever you want to us, but I ain't going to stop because we're going. We're going all in, and we got this message. We're on a mission of life change here, so do whatever you need to do to us, but we're not going to stop. And it says here that these religious leaders, it caught their attention. Listen to this response. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men or women, with no special training in scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. You see, Jesus was the change agent here. I love that. Because I believe that living in a relationship, listen to me, listen, this is really important. I believe that you living in a relationship with Jesus, it not only changes you, but it has the ability to change the world. Did you catch that? Your personal relationship with Jesus, it's going to change you. And it has the ability to change the world. So I ask you this morning, what has God challenged you to lay down? What has God challenged you to lay down? The story of Moses is not ultimately about Moses. It's about the God who loves people, calls ordinary people, and he carries those he's calling. This morning, I want you to know you have a calling on your life. Some of you, and I believe they're all different callings, but maybe God is calling you to full-time ministry. Maybe God has been speaking to you about one day about being a pastor, about a big idea, planting a church. Maybe God has called you, like all these missionaries that come in and speak here at Thrive Church, man, God's calling me to go to a different country. Maybe God is calling you to get your credentials, your ministry credentials. Come talk to me about that. Maybe God's calling you to become a youth pastor, a kids pastor, a worship pastor. Maybe God is calling you to start a Bible study in your workplace, in your neighborhood. Maybe God is calling you, he's been pestering you about leading a life group. Maybe God is calling you. I know he's calling you. If you're part of this church, it's not my calling, it's God is calling you to be on the serve team. Kids area, youth ministry leader, to serve on the maintenance team. God's calling. One of you, he's calling you to talk to your neighbor. He's calling you to invite them over for dinner. God, he's calling you to talk to your co-workers. I just want you to know you're called. But the question is, will you go? Will you go? As I close out this message, listen to the heart of calling that Jesus gives to his disciples in Matthew 9:37. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to us. He says, listen to me. Listen. He's saying, the heart is great. He's saying, the need. Lost people are everywhere. It's all over the place. But the workers, people who will step up, are few. People who are called. He says, listen, if you're going to do one thing, will you do this? Will you do me this favor? Will you pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest? Will you ask him to send more workers, people who are called into this field? We pray that people who are called will go. We pray. We have a God who cares. We have a God who calls. And when he calls, he's going to carry. Amen? Amen. Amen. Can I just pray for the church? Can I pray for the called this morning? In Jesus' name, Lord, we see this world. And we watch the news and we're like, oh my word, what is going on out there? And we see in your word, just like Moses, you've called us to go. Speak to us about that, Lord. I pray that you would speak to us about things in our life that we need to surrender to you. And God, I pray that you would give us the trust to believe that you are with us, that you will work in us and through us to do extraordinary things.